Again, we're so glad that you guys are with us today. If I have not had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Meredith. I am the youth and young adults pastor here at North Place. We have some amazing ministries for young people here at the church. And you might have noticed Pastor Alicia rocking it out, leading us into worship this morning. She's our kids pastor, and she leads an incredible team of people that teaches your kids. And they're not just babysitting upstairs. I mean, they really teach your kids the Word of God. They help them grow in their relationship with the Lord. And if you're wondering if that's true, I mean, just ask your kids after service what they learned, and I promise you they will be able to tell you. We also, on Fridays, is when all of our teenagers, all of our students come and hang out and worship, and also we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. Following Jesus is fun, but we also provide space to every week encounter a real and living God. And our young adults ministry, they meet throughout the week as well. And a lot of us, we don't have our families around, so having that community there is so important. Some of us are trying to figure out what it means to live this new adult life, and just having a group of people your age to process and mature with is so important. Why am I talking about all these ministries? Well, one, because I love them, and I believe in them. I think that they are part, a powerful part of a healthy church. But also, I want you guys to know, if some of you guys, on Sundays, you don't always get to see what happens throughout the week. But I see it. I know the effects of these ministries, because even on Sundays, I can see that there are teenagers, there are youth, there are young adults that are in every ministry here at the church. They are making our Sunday morning experience happen. And even our kids, honestly, we have kids that are leading other kids upstairs, and we're equipping them and setting them up for success. And, you know, when students and when kids, they learn how to love Jesus, they really get it from a young age. I mean, just imagine what they're going to be like as adults because of how they've been equipped already. You know, a lot of times these younger ministries, we refer to them as the next generation. And yes, they are the next generation to become adults, but they're not the next generation to be effective. Because even now they're being effective, even now they have influence, even now they are leading and being examples to us as adults of what it means to serve the church and love others like Jesus does. So I love them, I love you guys, and I'm proud of them, and it's really been a joy and an honor to serve them over these last years. I know for most of you this isn't news, but I am transitioning to the States, and actually next Sunday is going to be my last Sunday here at North Place. But this is a normal part of what's happening, just going for my missionary furlough. I do plan to come back to Durban, and we have dealt with different staff transitions before. It's just a part of some of us being from another country. But I'm excited to see what God is going to do, and I want to see you. So you guys, next week, you got to come back, got to be able to have a chance to say goodbye, and if today is the last day I'm going to see you, let's snap a pic before you leave, okay? But there are other transitions that are happening in our church. It's not just me going away. There are different people. Some of our friends that have been a part of this church plant since the beginning are now moving on to new ventures. We have different people that have gotten married, had children. We got a lot of new kids out here. We have some people that have taken on a new job or a new role. They're about to step into that. We have students that we just celebrated that have matriculated. Now they're preparing for university. Some of our parents now, they are preparing to let their kids go to university. And those are big steps. You know, I believe even as a church that we are stepping into a new season, a new wave of our existence, if you will. I mean, we've really been through a lot and built some resilience from COVID. And I believe that we're just taking a breath during this holiday season. We're stepping into a year of fruitfulness and joy. I really believe that. So I think that we are all stepping into a transition, whether we realize it or not. But this is something that we are going to be dealing with throughout our lives at different times. So why don't we talk about it this morning? Today we are going to open our Bibles, look at a biblical model of how to transition well. So let's open our Bibles. First off, we're going to focus on one of my favorite characters in the Bible. They're not just characters, they're real people. So can you guess who this might be? Throw out a guess for me here. All right, here we go. Sunday school answer right off the bat. But it's true, we are going to look at Jesus this morning, because even Jesus went through transition. He transitioned from his ministry. He left his job, his home here on earth. He left behind friends that he had made, his earthly family. So open up to John 13, verse number 1. You know, this transition, it affected not only Jesus, but the disciples as well. And they had to figure out how to move forward. I mean, they're left saying, what do we do now? So let's see what happens. John chapter 13, verse 1. Open up in your Bibles when you got it. Say, yeah. All right. If you don't have it, we got it in the sky. So you are covered. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The first thing that we see Jesus do, and also that what we need to do when we're stepping into transition, is acknowledge that the transition is happening. Jesus identifies that this season is ending. His hour had come. His teaching ministry, his public ministry, it had come to a close. The cross is near. He was aware that he was about to leave this earth and soon go back to his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. And because he acknowledged that the transition was happening, then he had time to prepare for it. He was able to use his remaining hours intentionally, preparing not just himself, but his disciples as well. Your chapter 13, and honestly, the next few chapters here, they describe the Last Supper. This is the last night that the disciples had with Jesus. And he uses this time to serve them. He imparts wisdom to them. He tells them what to expect in the coming months. He tells them how to handle that well. He's really making the most of this special time that he has with his closest friends. And so for our lives, you may say, okay, Pastor Meredith, this seems like really obvious, like that we just say, okay, yeah, I'm in a transition. But you would be surprised how many people deny the fact that it is happening. And when they're walking around in denial, they're also walking around delayed in their process of moving forward, because they're unwilling to admit where they are at right now. You see, because change happens in a moment. The physical difference of moving from one place to another, actually birthing a child, or someone taking their last breath, I mean, those are things that happen within a day, an hour, seconds. But the process of transition is just that. It's a process. We can't force ourselves to just be okay. We can't force ourselves to be ready for life to change in an instant. Our emotions have to catch up to our bodies. We can't deny that change is happening or refuse to admit that it's already happened, because then what we do is we miss out on the opportunity to prepare well for it and then transition well. And we want to know how to transition well. We want to show others how to transition well. So let's look back at our passage here. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved his disciples. And he demonstrates this throughout his ministry. But even at the end, he doesn't hold back. And Jesus' actions, they give us our next step to transitioning well, which is to adopt an attitude of humility. Jesus uses his remaining hours, he's not just talking to the disciples, he's not just giving them wisdom, he's actually showing them, he's serving them. And this is one of, if you read in the next couple of verses, this is one of the greatest examples of servant leadership. Jesus is about to wash his disciples' feet. And that's what he chooses to do with his last hours here on earth, to wash his disciples' feet. He doesn't make demands. He's not making these last hours about himself. He's focusing on his disciples. He's thinking about what is best for them. Because he knows that this next season is not going to be easy. I mean, one of these guys is going to betray him. And the guilt is going to eat him alive. One of these guys is going to deny him. For all of them, persecution is coming. I mean, there's some days ahead that are not going to be easy, but Christ is trying to make it a little bit better by letting them know what's coming and how they can handle that. He says, you know what? If you remain in me, I will be with you. There is hope for the future. There is joy in the future. How many of us can say that we share this same attitude? Because if we're honest, a lot of times we make this time about ourselves. A lot of times we make demands of other people. Because, let's just say it again, change is not easy. Transition, I mean, it can even be traumatic. There's a lot of extra energy that is needed when you're dealing with new life changes. That's a reality. But we can't use this as an excuse to treat other people poorly. Just because your emotions are high, just because they're close to the surface, that doesn't give you the right to blow up in other people's faces. If you're finishing your job, this is not your chance to storm out of the office, knock over your boss's desk on the way out, and say, take that, sucker. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here. You don't get to just come in, make a mess in the relationship, or damage the relationship, and then say, you know what? Deal with it. That's not how we act as followers of Christ. We're a reflection of God's character here on earth. So we need to continue to serve and to love others right into the end. And honestly, there should never be a time when we stop doing that. And if we read here in verse 35, it says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is our calling card. The way that we love other people. This is how people know that we belong to Christ, by the way that we love other people. So as you're in transition, how can you serve those around you? Even if you're burnt out, even if this is hitting you harder than you expected. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ask for help when we need it. But what we do need to do is remember to think about how this is affecting the people around us as well. How can this be the best transition? How can this be the healthiest transition, not only for you, but for everyone around you? To do that, we have to humble ourselves. And I want to point out that in this passage, yes, Jesus shows us humility. But he also has confidence. The two aren't mutually exclusive. It's not saying, oh, okay, now I need to make myself less and I need to, maybe I'm not that much. It's not that we let insecurity creep in, we still need to know who we are and where we came from. Like it says in verse number 3 here, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knew who he was. He understood his authority. He understood his destiny, where he was going. And this is why it didn't shake him to then in the next few verses to stoop to the lowest position in the house to then wash his disciples, his students' feet. Because he knew who he was. He didn't need validation to understand his calling. He didn't need someone else to tell him what his position was or how much influence he had. Because he was commissioned by God. He was fueled by God. He was secure in his identity, which gave him the ability to serve with humility. And for us, it's the same thing. In transition, what it does, it leaves a lot of room for uncertainty. All right, we start saying, hey, roles are changing, so now I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. Maybe my relationship with somebody has changed, so I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to interact with them. I mean, what are the rules now? There's a lot of room for uncertainty. And uncertainty leaves room for insecurity to creep in. So when it's possible, I mean, if we can be clear, if we can communicate, that will help us. But this insecurity creeps in. Now we find ourselves in moments where we're saying, hey, the person that's coming behind me, I mean, I know they're going to do a better job than I'm doing. So I'm going to hold tight to the control that I have right now. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I'm not going to be a very good mom because I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm just going to deflect all my responsibility on other people. We start doing these things. And as that insecurity creeps in, it starts taking over our actions. And we snap and we lash out or we become complacent. And without realizing it, we start miscommunicating. We let our imaginations go wild, and all of these things inevitably hurt our relationships. So as you're humbling yourself, be confident in who you are. As you're stepping into transition, know whose you are and where you come from. Know where you are going. You are called by God. He's given you the strength. He's given you the gifts and talents that you need that make you who you are. You're not that other person. All you need to be is the son or daughter that he has called you to be. Find your security in the Lord. Only then will you be able to act with humility. Only then will you be able to lay down your pride and handle this transition with grace, handling it well. Watch out for those insecurities. So as we continue, Jesus continues to encourage his disciples in this farewell speech here. And I really encourage you guys, this is chapters 13 through 17 here, if you guys would read that in your daily 20. And there's a lot of really great passages of scripture that you will be familiar with. And they're very powerful passages. But as you go through, the next time that you read it, if you go through your daily 20 this week, think about it in the context of this is Jesus' last night with his guys. And these are the things that he decides to tell them. Think about it in the context of the cross is in the back of his mind this whole time. And these are the things that he wants to communicate. So we're going to jump forward in this conversation just a little bit to John 16, verses 5 through 7. It says, "But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Right away at the very beginning, we see that Jesus acknowledges that the disciples are going to mourn the loss of their friend. And it's not just in this verse. I mean, there's multiple times in this chapter that he talks about grief and mourning and weeping. And so we need to understand that a very real step in this process of transition is allowing yourself to grieve. Because when we change from one thing to another, there is something that is dying. You know, when it's a person that passes on, there's this sobering finality to their life. We can understand the impact that it has because we know we can't talk to them again. We're not going to see them again. We can understand how grief would then take over at that point when we're dealing with the loss of somebody that we loved. But losing someone could also be divorce, could also be breaking up with somebody, could also be a child moving away. Maybe you actually see this person all the time, but there's a breakdown in friendship, so you're not talking to them anymore. These are all ways that we're losing someone. We're grieving the loss of a relationship. And it's not just people. We grieve other things as well. I mean, we grieve our pets. If they're not here anymore, that's real. We grieve our homes when we move to a new place. That's real. And we don't think about it as often, but we also grieve roles, like the role that you play. It's a real thing. Let's say you're in a job and you had certain responsibilities that you loved, that filled you up. Now you don't have those anymore. That's something that we're grieving. Let's say you got married. You're in a relationship and you're giving up the single life. Now you're grieving your life of no responsibility or little responsibility. We could even be grieving unmet expectations. There's lots of different things if we take time to focus on it that we are grieving. We have to acknowledge that. Whatever it was, your life before has changed. You're moving from what you know. You're moving from what was comfortable. And you're going to experience loss in one way or another. Identify it and allow yourself the space to grieve. Because denying that you're feeling anything is not going to help you. It's just going to frustrate you if you refuse to realize that this is part of the process. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to be sad. Jesus is giving you permission to feel those things. It's good and healthy to say goodbye. Some of us run from this. You know who you are. But it's a good thing. It gives us closure. We need to take the time to do that. And I just want to say, as the body of Christ, as a unified church, when we notice that these moments are happening with people, let's have grace for each other. Let's, as it says in Ephesians, make allowance for each other's faults. When we notice that someone's emotions are high, or we realize that actually what they're trying to communicate can't be communicated, that things are coming out one way when it really means something else, let's have grace for each other or for ourselves. When we realize that that's what's happening within us, what we can do is respond with the fruit of the Spirit, with kindness, with gentleness, with love, with patience. We can help each other through this time when we're grieving. But even as we are grieving, we also need to, if we look back at our passage here, we also need to keep the big picture in mind. Jesus says, it is good, it is for your good that I am going away. Why is this true? I mean, the end game, it wasn't for Jesus to just come to earth and then chill here forever. That wasn't his plan. He had a mission. And in order to save the world, he had to go to the cross. He had to leave. In order to save the world, his message then had to get out to the whole world. And if he stuck around, his disciples, they would want to just continue to stay in their little group and keep learning from this man that had all of the answers. But Jesus being with the disciples, that was only part of the plan. The overall mission was that all would come to know him and all would come into relationship with him. We have to look at the change in our lives and view it through God's lens. There's a bigger picture. Instead of peering through a telescope, only seeing how this transition affects my life, we have to move to the big IMAX screen so we can see what God is doing everywhere, not just in my life. In the moment, didn't seem like it was best for the disciples that Jesus left them. They would mourn their friend. They would lose their teacher, their purpose even. I mean, who would they follow? What were they supposed to do when Jesus was gone? These guys completely changed their lives, made a commitment, and now this guy is leaving them? What are they supposed to do? But what they couldn't see was that God was going to use them to build his church. They didn't know the victory that they would have when Jesus resurrected from the grave. They couldn't have imagined all the life transformation that would happen as the gospel spread throughout the world. Jesus' death brought sadness for a moment, but joy for eternity. So how does your transition fit into the bigger picture? How will God use this change for his bigger purpose? Let's take our church for an example. And we've had a few different staff transitions, and we've all gone through this together. You know, it can be difficult. It can be difficult to build relationships when you know that somebody is going to leave you. We put up walls, and we decide not to actually dive in deep because it hurts when somebody leaves. It's hard to say goodbye to somebody that's poured into your life, somebody that's helped you grow in the Lord. I understand that. And sometimes we don't understand, why do people keep leaving me? And I'm just here. I'm still here. We have to move from the telescope to the big screen. And when we do that, we see how God is now using those people to build his church across the world. How he's using those people to build his church in other places in South Africa. We see how now God is working in their lives and helping them mature in a way that only he could do now that they're in the place that they're at. We see how them moving, them leaving actually left space for us to grow here in Durban. See, North Place Church is not dependent on the staff. This is not Meredith's church. This is not Pastor Randy's church. It is made up of a group of people. It's all of us with our gifts and our talents and our capabilities. And as all of us make up this church, it belongs to God. And he is faithful to fulfill his mission, no matter who he is using. He is in control at all times. This is his church. And we can see that when we change our perspective. We got to move from how is this best for just me to how is this best for this other person? How will this change affect my life to how will this change be used for the overall mission of God? We got to trust that God knows what he is doing when he moves us forward. So as we go back to our passage here, we finish looking at these couple of verses. We see also that leaving creates space for something new. We talked about how change, it brings a death in our lives. All right, but also when one thing dies, it brings life to something else. Now there's room for something else to grow. So here, yes, Jesus was leaving, and even after he resurrected from the grave, when he was returning to heaven, he didn't plan to stay here on earth. But in his absence, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, was coming. And he would be with the disciples and with anyone who chose to believe in Jesus. Now, God's Spirit, it wasn't dependent on the single physical body of Christ. Now his Spirit could reside in all of us all over the world at all times. The disciples, yes, they weren't going to have Christ to lead them anymore. But now they were the ones that were leading. They were preaching. They were healing. They were bringing glory to Christ. Instead of just one man preaching the gospel, it was many. Instead of only the Jews hearing the good news, now even the Gentiles could enter into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit, it brought the capacity to spread the gospel like wildfire, and it did. Yes, Jesus had to leave, but something greater was coming. Jesus had this in mind. He knew that it was actually bigger than himself. Not just for the world. Something greater wasn't just coming for the world. Something greater was coming for the disciples because now it was their time to shine. And for us, some of us, this idea of letting something go, letting something die off so that something new could happen. Some of us, we need to let go of what was so that we can step into what is in front of us right now. It's your time to move on. There's maturity in saying that this season is over. And I understand that you're comfortable here. I understand that this is something that you know, but something greater is coming. If we're willing to step into that, if we let go of those expectations, if we don't do that, if we don't make the move, if we don't say goodbye to that person, we miss out on incredible opportunities and blessings in our lives. And you know what? I know we all love to be comfortable, but even comfort gets uncomfortable after a while. Like, have you ever been sitting on the couch for a long time and then all of a sudden, like, your back is hurting? It's not all of a sudden, but all of a sudden you realize it and you're like, oh. Or, like, you're laying on a pillow and it's sunken, all the fluff is gone. And you're just kind of, like, laying there, sitting there, just, like, wishing that that comfortable feeling would come back. Like, maybe if I don't move, it'll be fine. But if you're honest with yourself, you just need to get up and do something at that point. That's how you're really going to feel better. It's time to get up and step into something new. Maybe you're saying, you know what? That's not me. But you're the person who lost someone or is losing someone in your life. You're like the disciples who are mourning over Jesus. Don't lose hope. Something greater is coming. Now it's your turn to step up. It's your turn to lead. Yes, you may be out of your comfort zone, but that's a good thing because that means you're growing. If we're going back to our church illustration that we were just talking about, you may say, you know what, God, why are you taking this person away from me? They helped me to learn how to read the Bible. This person encouraged me when I needed it most. They welcomed me in to their family when I felt alone. This person fought for me when I couldn't fight for myself. God, why are you taking them from me? Yes, all of those things happened. God used them. He used them to make a difference in your life. He used them to shape you and mold you into the man or woman that you are today. But you have grown more than you realize. And now they're leaving. It's not taking away from your life. It's actually adding to it. Because it's giving you an opportunity to now be those things for other people. Now you get the opportunity to welcome someone into the family. Now you get the opportunity to speak into other people's lives. The opportunity is there, but you have to be bold and step into it. Don't let those insecurities creep in. Be courageous. A new season is coming, and it's gonna be good. Leaving creates space for something or someone new. So let's wrap up our story. You know, John, he doesn't record Jesus' ascension into heaven, so we're going to flip back to the Gospel of Luke for a second. And this passage, this is after Jesus went to the cross. This is after he resurrected from the grave. It's even after he came back and talked with his disciples for a bit, encourages them to take care of his people, and now he is going back to be with the Father. In Luke 24:50-53, it says, "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." Our last step in transition that we're talking about today is to take time to be thankful. Now, at this moment, now that everything's happened, now the disciples understood what Jesus was doing. They're joyful because he lives. They're joyful because now they are a part of the mission. And so they're praising and they're worshiping God, and that's exactly what we need to do. We need to take time to reflect on all that God did in the past season. There were beautiful moments in your last season of joy, of laughter. There were new experiences. You discovered new things. You matured. You know what? Even the painful things and the frustrating things, even the moments that were difficult to endure, we should be thankful because they helped us grow into the men and women that we are today. Your last season helped you to be ready for the one that you are stepping into. And if you're saying, "Meredith, I don't know how to be thankful," maybe there's some reconciliation that needs to happen. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness or forgive someone else or reconcile with God. And when you do the work to make things right before you step forward, you will find something to be thankful for, I promise you. But we have to make things right. You know, I want us to do that right now. I want us to give God praise, gratitude for where we've come, for what he did before as we step into this new season. So if each of you would stand with me. If you're at home, just find a place for yourself that you can focus in. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I want you guys to pray and also praise God and thank him for what he has done. Lord, you are good. And you work all things in our lives for our good. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it helps us to become the men and women that you have called us to be. Lord, as we deal with transition, some of us are in the middle of it right now. Some of us don't know it, but it's coming soon. Lord, help us to recognize where we are at in the process. Maybe we just need to start by acknowledging that it's happening. God, maybe we need to change our perspective. Maybe we need to let go of insecurity. Maybe we need to lay down our pride and think about other people. Lord, maybe we need to let go of what was and have the boldness to step forward. Maybe we need to allow ourselves the space to grieve. Maybe this is our moment to take ownership and fill in the gap. Lord, each person is at a different place right now. You know where they are. You see each of our hearts. I pray that you'd be speaking to us right now. God, that we would have the boldness and the courage to take that step, to move forward in the process, to see what you have in this next season. God, we thank you for how you have moved in the past season, how you helped us grow and mature, find out new things about ourselves. God, thank you for the lives that were changed, the ministry that happened, how your mission was accomplished. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you for what you've done. You are so good. God, would you give us the strength and the grace to step into this next season with authority, understanding our authority in you. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.